welcome to Kinda Sorta Flowing With Famous. And the kinda sorta part, if you are a regular Famous listener, you already know this is something's up. But if you've never listened to Flowing With Famous, usually it's myself and Josh, and we talk about Fresno culture for an hour. But sometimes technical difficulties happen, like the one we just recorded, and the file, something happens to the file and it goes away because an idiot me is running that. So there isn't a normal episode this week, but I wanted to add, there's something I've been holding back for a while, waiting to use when something screws up like it did this time. And it's cool because Josh is in it, so just kind of it's almost a Flowing With Famous anyway. What it is our buddy Blake Jones of Blake Jones and the Trike Shop, longtime musician around town. He'll do a rogue show every year, and this the recording this is from his Underground Garden show back there behind. He did it behind Vinny's. And I knew he was it's basically sort of a talk show, but the guests he had on were Gary Edwards, who was the original owner of Spinners, and he also had like a local music publication back in the day, and Freddie Martinez, who is the owner of Club Fred, the original owner. Now Audie's has it, but Freddie Martinez had it at one time too when it was called Club Fred. And then Josh is on there as well. So it's cool because you just get that for the old timers. it's kind of cool because you can. There's a lot of references that you'll get and a lot of stuff remembering back in the day stuff. And then for the younger crowd, it's cool because you get to hear a history of Fresno's music scene that you would never heard before, especially if you do. And even if you went to this rogue show, it's kind of cool to remember back to it. And if you missed it, this is something that would have went away anyway. It's something you never would have heard. And it's just kind of a cool show that Blake put together. And luckily, he was nice enough to let me record that day. And I've been holding on to it for a long time. So I'm kind of happy it's getting out there. I'm pretty pissed that I screwed up our normal recording Josh and I did with, you know, we talked about the Fulton Mall and High Speed Rail and the 99 Corridor and all the good stuff we like to talk about. But oh well, next time, next episode of Flowing, that's what it'll be. But this is cool. It's Underground Garden. We just hang out and talk about Fresno history. There's a couple things where I had to edit away some of the music from it, because I was recording off the board and it just didn't, it was just it was over modulating from the board and didn't sound right. It sounded fine live, but from the board it sounded funky. And if I was one of the musicians, I'd be like, I don't, you know, want people hearing the sound when it's not right. So that's why you'll hear kind of the music kind of cut out of there. But I will, at the end, you're gonna hear some Blake Jones stuff at the end of the podcast I'll put on there. But anyway, thank you for hanging out with us and listening to this long intro. Let's go out to the Rogue Festival right now, to the back patio of Vinny's, and see what's going on there.
I want to welcome all of you to the Underground Garden. You know, it's one of the few ways you can still grow pot with all the airplanes and stuff going around. You got to do it underground now. No. what can I say, Tim, bro?
Thank you. Thanks for the big present you gave me 2 years ago. 50 pounds of
gold. I forgot about that. You know, I thought it was 100 pounds.
You know. Okay.
At any rate, welcome all of you to the Rogue at Vinny Vidi Vici. I'll let you guys go.
All right, fantastic.
Have you started that thing yet?
Yeah, I've started.
Okay.
You guys know Forestier Gardens, right?
Yeah.
All right, probably most of the people here do. Maybe you don't. You should check it out if you don't. It's over there on Shaw 99, and it's this wonderful, magical place. You know, this person, obviously quite a character, spent a lot of time digging a whole home, and it's three different levels. It's not just a hole in the ground or like those forts that we made in the vacant lots when we were kids. It's like this full-on sort of, he's like living this crazy mix between a home and an art piece. My script. Oh, that's right. Now I don't know what to say. it came to me that it was a perfect metaphor for the local music and art scene. You know, when you drive by Forestier's Gardens, it looks like an empty lot. You know, you drive by, it looks like dirt and a couple trees, like maybe there was a freeway that was supposed to go through and they've moved the house or something like that. But, you know, when you're inside of it, it's a wonderful and, you know, unique thing. So I thought it was very much like the local music scene. And so this song is called Forestier Gardens, and we're going to start it off. And I thought that having some people in for conversation, you know, throw a little light on just a touch of our local music heritage, you know, would kind of get people to... I don't know exactly how to state the goal, but that I think that if people appreciate the things that people have done all through the years, it kind of pumps them up to show that people are doing some wonderful and valid things now in the arts, and they have been for decades and decades and decades, and hopefully that'll inspire people to continue to do so for many more decades. So our show's called that's why it's called The Underground Garden, and there's that big E chord, and Tom... Y'all know Tom McGill, right?
Of course. Well, Zach. Zach knows me. Hey, Zachy.
Anyways, Tom, I just want to tell you, this song can't have too many harmony vocals, so okay. Just let it fly.
Oh, you got okay, it, buddy. Right? What key is it in?
E.
What are the chords?
You know them better than me. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get the show underway with our three very eligible bachelors. We find our first guest. Not only ran the store down the street, Spinner's Records, but he had a music newspaper all about Valley music called The Valley Music News. Yes, Gary Edwards, come on out. And our next guest, when he's not pulling babies out of burning buildings, he's starting rock bands, or maybe a full-on rock and roll club. Yes, our friend from Club Fred, it's Fred himself, Freddie Martinez. And last but not least, running one of the coolest websites in Fresno. It's called FresnoFamous.com, and not only that, but he's a punk rock singer in a group called It'll Grow Back. It's Josh T. I almost want to do that announcement again because it timed out so well with the song. All right, so we're just going to talk. I want to hear people's stories. I got to apologize to you guys. No disrespect intended. We did the show only once before, and we had 45 minutes with two guests, and it was obvious that it was just, there was no way that it was all going to fit, right? There's just no way. I was talking to fantastic musician and great guy Steve Ono just over here, and he... See, I'm saying this publicly, so you're committed, dude. He was talking about getting a venue and kind of doing this with a little more spread out format where we could take our time and film it real nice and get people to do their songs and, you know, not have to rush through. But I just thought if everybody could maybe just give a teaser, you know, people, you at least get a tease of what, you know, what was going on, what is going on. All right, let me start with, let's start with the man in the middle. Let's start with Freddie Martinez. You were a musician, or you are a musician, and then What led to Club Fred? And please get up there on the mic. You guys know this, right?
Yeah, what led to Club Fred? Well, Club Fred was a place that I had gone to since the 70s. A friend of mine, Steve Schmalley, who was my partner when I opened up Club Fred, his friends owned it.
But and it wasn't called Club Fred.
No, it was called the Olympic Tavern at that time. Yeah. And it was, well, actually, before that, it was called the Roy Tiki. And actually, since 1954.
Now why isn't now Audie's Roy Tiki? Because that's kind of cool.
Because I gave him the sign. You'll find the Roy Tiki, you will find the Olympic Tavern, but there's no existence of Club Fred at that point right now. Yeah. You know, you get a club, what are you going to say? You got to let the old one die, right? But anyway, it was called the Roy Tiki, and then. Back then again, it moved into Olympic Tavern, and I was a young kid.
Can you give me like some dates here? Like someday my dream is like if there's a coffee table.
I graduated in 72 from high school. So about 1974, we snuck in, bought some beers, because back in the Tower District at that time, you know, it was, yeah, we weren't living under Nazi, oh, never mind, I shouldn't say that.
Wow.
We weren't the drunkest city in America at that time. But as I say, drinking a beer, hoorah for that, you know. Something to say about alcohol.
Did they have music there at the time?
Yeah, they did. I mean, they've had music there. It's the longest living nightclub that I can think of in Fresno, 1954, besides the old bar that used to be over on Fresno and First. Buck would know that one. Which one's that? The liquor store was named after that one. Uncle Tom's, yeah. Club Fred and, it wasn't Club Fred. It was the Roy Tiki. And
so in the mid-70s, it became the Olympic Tavern?
Yeah, about that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had different owners and all types of entertainment. I mean, I can look in the crowd and see numerous peoples here that played there. You know. Mr. Whitey's back there. He was one of the guys that spent numerous hours on the stage, right? That's it. Roger Perry.
And he will again, quick plug, and he will again, Saturday, April 24th, for the CD release party of The Underground Garden by Blake Jones and the Trike Shop.
Yeah.
John Schaefer on the drums. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I like that.
Saturday, April 24th. Any bloggers in the audience, make note.
So that's basically, in the 90s, I took it over. So what's the next question?
Well, okay. Now let's go over to Gary over here. He had a newspaper that was running at about the same time, or actually maybe just before it became Club Fred.
Right.
Yeah.
And tell us about that, how you got involved, and that sort of thing.
Well, that was like 78 to 80 I did that paper. And I'd been teaching at Fresno City College and was involved with the newspaper over there very briefly and was intrigued. Soundstage had a little paper called Valley Music News. It was one of the big music stores at the time. And their editor he left. And so I thought, well, this would be a good thing to do. And so I started doing the paper out of the soundstage. And basically it was based on the idea that there was a lot of stuff going on musically, dance-wise, and all the arts in Fresno that wasn't really being covered by the Fresno Bee at the time. Of course, now Mike Ozageta knows that things are different now. But at that time, there was not even calendars or anything, so it was hard to find out what was going on. So that was the basic idea of the paper, was to bring attention to local musicians and artists, dancers. So we covered everything from the Fresno Philharmonic to what was going on at the Olympic Tavern, what was going on at the Wild Blue Yonder. And for me, one of the things that was stands out and was important in my experience there was that the paper wasn't really intended to make money. It should have, but I didn't know how to do that.
Like the Fresno Guide.
Yeah. It involved selling advertising, which I resented the advertising because it took up space where there could be photos and text and stuff like that. So it wasn't making money. But the Wild Blue Yonder at the time was willing to give me one night a month. It was a Wednesday night, which was a slow night for them. And I would bring in musicians, and of course I would write about the event coming up in the paper, and then I'd cover the event. So in the next paper, it was a monthly. So I gave it away for free. And by the way, there's a bunch of them over there, and they're for free. But at any rate, it was...
But they're old.
Yeah, they're very old.
Yeah. Collector's items.
But right?
I'll take all of those.
Cool.
We're going to deal with them later.
Out of the archives.
Right sale.
That's right. But at any rate, the thing that I really appreciated about all that was there was a kind of a sense of community. And it wasn't just centralized to the Tower District, but a lot of the activity was going on here. And so it was like the musicians got to play, they got attention in the paper, they helped raise money for my newspaper, and it turned out to be one of the best bar nights in the Wild Blue on a night that normally was very slow. So at any rate, that that period, 78 to 80, there were bands... Well, of course, Steve was playing back there. We did an article on Steve at the time, I know. Noel Mitchell over here, I know, performed in one of those events, and we covered it all. But at any rate, it was a great experience for me. Got to know a lot of musicians, and finally, I kind of had to give it up because I just couldn't keep not making money.
Hey, Gary, I want to come back to something that you brought up about how it. Creating community
right.
around the newspaper.
Right.
And I'm going to ask Josh because he's in a similar world
right.
today. And so if Josh, if you, we'll get back to that, but Josh, could you tell us just a little bit about the history of this website called FresnoFamous.com?
So yeah, FresnoFamous.com. I actually had nothing to do with creating FresnoFamous.com. I just happened to be, I know, slap my face. But I happened to be in a position at the time. So the person who created FresnoFamous.com was in the similar situation as you were. Felt that the media here in town wasn't doing a good enough job covering at least the things that she was interested in. So she decided, okay, I'm going to take it upon myself, but instead of making it a newspaper, the thing that she knew at the time was websites and the internet. And so she created this internet site. And made
it. That was Jarrah, right?
That was Jarrah Houston, yeah,
right.
For anyone who doesn't know. And then, you know, and ran that for several years, made it successful, and decided that she was done with it and wanted to make some money. So she sold it to the Bee. And the Fresno Bee, I was working for the Fresno Bee and just happened to be in a position where they thought that I would be useful running the site, and so that's sort of what happened. But running the site doesn't really mean all that much because the website is designed so that users control it and can kind of do anything they want. So if you wanted to, or anyone here wanted to, you know, write a story about their favorite musician, they could and post it up.
That's kind of unique. I mean, this in the internet world now. I mean, if you would have wanted to put an article in Gary's paper, you would have had to approach him. And knowing him, he probably would have been very open and happy to have many writers.
Yeah,
but
right.
with the internet now, you don't even have to talk to anybody. It can be 2 a.m, and you could see somebody that's out here who played a gig that you were impressed with, and you could put a picture and write the story and all that now, right? It's a little different world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to say that the internet has changed things for musicians, I mean, yeah. It sounds cliche, but it's 100% true.
Yeah.
Even from when I started playing music not long ago, and things were completely different. You know, when I was just out of high school in a band trying to get gigs, it was, you know, you were making phone calls to people that you knew who maybe booked something or trying to track down. They had a magazine called Book Your Own Fucking Life that was like, and you would look through that and, you know, oh, where's a place that's, you know, book shows that plays a similar type of music. But now all that's, you know, I can go on MySpace and find 30 bands playing in Sacramento and hopefully one of them's going to, you know, be doing what we're doing and that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's a whole new world out there. It's crazy.
In what way, because I can't remember who said it, but somebody, maybe someone out here knows, somebody, there's a famous quote about how a newspaper unites a community. So,
that was true when people actually read a newspaper.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing, right? You got like a modern thing.
But it is true. And I think newspaper, or be it the email or internet or what's happening in a neighborhood, like this neighborhood, the Tower District, you know. I mean, we all have one in every city, in every place, and I wouldn't live any other than this one.
Yeah.
Because I've got lifelong friends and lifelong musicians and kids of kids that are pursuing these careers.
So it's like the lifelong friends thing, right?
Right.
What about like currently when a group is performing? Because there's that sort of, what is it, a synergy or something that happens between the club?
You only see that group performing down here. You won't see it on the north end of town at River Park or the Bellagio or...
With the Dirty Olive?
Yeah, no, you can't catch it at the Dirty Olive. You may have an officer next to you, you know, looking how much you drank. Because we are the drunkest city in the world. And you know what? Cheers. Everybody, cheers. That's what I'm saying. Cheers, Jerry Dyer. I love you, man.
I'm out of beer. Can someone get me a beer, please?
That's it.
Okay, yeah. But back to this idea. Can you just talk about how that works, like, in real time? Like, there's bands, there's clubs, and there's getting the word out. How that all feeds into one another.
Only in small neighborhoods, I think. Only in neighborhoods and
areas.
But
it is a community. It's the physical neighborhood. Definitely. Happens to be the Tower District around here.
Yeah, exactly. It's a
What do you say to that, Gary? What do you say? Is there any thoughts you have on how newspaper creates community?
Well, we distributed the paper up and down the valley. It was in Visalia. It was in Merced on the north. And so I think a lot of the importance of it had to do with, for instance, the soundstage was where a lot of musicians went. It was kind of a place to hang out.
Excuse me, I must say, shop at Soundstage. Don't go to Guitar Center, please. Jerry Lyles, Soundstage. He's supporting this community forever. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Support the mom. They're like semi-mom and pop, right?
Oh, they're everything does.
There's like two stores, one's in like San Jose or something, right? And then one's here. So like at least we got, I don't know, mom and pop may be divorced, but it's still mom and pop, you know?
Soundstage. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, it's just, I think... It connected up clear out to the university because a lot of people who were writing for me or taking photographs weren't getting paid. They were doing it to build a resume, and so there were students from City College and from Fresno State. And so in a way, it kind of networked around. The center of it all clearly was the Tower District because of the Olympic Tavern, because of Wild Blue Yonder, Tower Theater. So I think it kind of radiated out to some degree, but it's part of a network that seems difficult because Fresno spread out so far. It just seemed to sprawl. And so I think that's still kind of a problem, that it's kind of hard to unite a spread out population. And still the Tower District seems to be the center.
Josh, I know.
All those people are bloggers now. Is the only difference. I mean, there's still those people who are writing the song, writing stories and putting. And there's one of them right there, the Fresnan, and Mike Oz, obviously. But I think the difference is that there doesn't have to be a unified, let's say, newspaper that someone publishes. There's a bunch of blogs that are all doing their own thing. There's Twitter pages, Facebook pages. And so if you are connected with these people, you're connected with them. So I think the same things are happening. It's just not under the umbrella of a newspaper. It's on the Fresnan or dumdrum.com or the Beehive or Fresno Famous.
But even so, I'm fascinated with this idea of how communities swarm around these things.
Oh, for sure.
Because when I first saw FresnoFamous.com, you know, Life Below Belmont or whatever, it was a little more of a private. It was slightly more private. It became huge. Yeah. And like I'd go there, and it was obviously there was, you know, you could suss out that there was a, you know, like three or four bands and their friends. They were all kind of around this community and around the what are the living places right by Tokyo Gardens?
Iron Bird.
Pearl Building.
Yeah, at the time. Pearl Building. And even now, you know, you see the same posters, and it becomes kind of like a community of. And then those are the same people when you go to a gig. You see those same people at the shows.
It was kind of like that with the soundstage being the origin of the newspaper. Was before I was editor, they were covering musicians who shopped at Soundstage. But when I took over, my intent was to try to, you know, well, certainly I needed advertising from all the music stores. And so it kind of spread out that way through the music stores, I think, because all the existing music stores at the time would advertise with me. And so it just kind of linked things up a little more, in a more primitive way, obviously.
Is there anything that you, any ideas that you have? Because I think there's a wonderful community, you know, thus the whole idea of that underground garden. And you can see, my head's running in three different ways here. But like, somebody sent me a clip from your paper, and I'm going to say his name wrong, but Brad Polson?
Yeah, he was a photographer.
Right, right.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I didn't know him from then. I knew him from the Rogue Festival.
Right.
So there's this amazing interconnectedness. Yeah. I knew him from the Rogue Festival, and I knew that he showed photographs in galleries. I knew he had something to do with the gallery spectrum. Yeah. And then I get a picture of Dale Stewart in an old band before Capital Punishment called The Subtractions. And then underneath the photo credit is Brad Polson, and it's in the Valley Music. I mean, all these connections that went back a lot further than I knew.
Yeah,
you know, it's just this thing, you know.
It's a big history here in town, you know. Like I say, Dale and Capital Punishment were huge in Germany, and Brad Paulsen was a photographer that I went to school with at McLean High School, and then Tim Fleming was another big photographer that had a studio down in the Tower District, Venice Village, which was the heart of the Tower District where Club Fred was at. Tim had a great, great studio down there. And like you say, the computers and new things, they wiped him out and he was gone. And Steve Ono, I went to school with Steve at elementary, junior high school. And Steve, I still have that dinosaur I took from you that day. I don't want to tell him this because I'm a thief. I took his Tyrannosaurus Rex in fifth grade.
It all comes out.
God damn it, Steve.
We got it on video,
you know,
man.
I'm on video. I'm on it. Because, you know, they always say, go back and say you're sorry. I'm sorry. I took that. But Steve Ono and Doug Carlson and Pat Goodrich and kids that I went to high school were excellent musicians. And not only that, were the hardcore guys that played music in the Valley. And that's where the Tower District came in to give us those venues. You know, there was Louis Zoo, and there was a place downtown the Saloonatics owned. And there was a lot more venues back in the day to play music and enjoy music and do different things. And like I say, Audie's Olympic. Audie is doing the best he can. Go check out the shows that he's got there, because he's true to entertainment. And that was what I was through. I mean, I was a fireman. I made my money someplace else. But I was true to entertainment.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that, true to entertainment? What do you mean?
Well, I was there when Circus Bogus first formed, and I was there when, you know.
Did you have to clean up the mess?
The nosies, when they brought in 4 pounds of nosies, the elephants shit and threw it all over the club. And they left like, you know, it was something that was okay, you know. Well, I figured, they threw nosy shit all over the club Fred egg. The bar receipts for good, it's okay. Yeah. Let's invite Nosy next time. Maybe we do a lot better, I don't know. But I love this neighborhood. I was born and raised in Fresno, and like I said, you know, lately I've been looked over at the coastline, saw the mountains, and looked over here and saw the mountains, and then was invited to do this thing, and see young guys like this.
I'm just happy to be here. This is Club Fed right here.
Yeah, it'll grow back. It'll always grow back. Right?
Yeah, that is true.
I'm hoping shit grows back.
Hey,
but I booked them, right?
That is true.
Didn't I book you?
Yeah.
Didn't even know.
The first shows that we played were there at Club Fed. So.
Was that with It'll Grow Back, or you were in the band before?
I always talked to everybody. I never did anything by email. I wanted to do it by phone. I wanted to talk to the musicians. And then when I finally found how it was easy to book on email and I could cancel people, that was the greatest goddamn thing. I said, what? Jesus Christ, what have I been doing? No. Yes, okay, no, you know. That's what things for me. Because my heart is into this so much. You know?
Tell me from a slightly different perspective. You're a Kingsburg boy. All right, tell me just like a quick synopsis of you start a band and you know, now you're a big punk rock star in Fresno.
Start a band in high school, and we were a ska band, because that's what you did in high school.
Well, no, not that everybody. That's what you guys did.
Yeah, that's Let's Go Bowling.
That was the pool of musicians at the time, and Let's Go Bowling was a big influence, because they were from Kingsburg, and that was sort of... Mm-hmm. And this was the 90s, early, mid-90s, so ska was a thing. And so we start playing, and... did that for, I don't know, probably from 97 until 2001 or something, 2002, and, yeah. and played
and
every.
All of you, you guys are now currently like. Many of you are still musicians. You're just playing in different groups.
That's 100% true, yeah.
It was not only It'll Grow Back. It was What's-His-Name from Clovis that had the same band, high school group, that did ska stuff. There was like four or five.
There were like four or five different bands that were
excellent
doing
groups,
stuff. And some of and that's the thing. All of them are
still,
you know. Andrew Bunnell, who played guitar for us, had several bands in town.
Pink Eye did really well.
And he's playing with the Wheels of Fortune now, who their singer actually played guitar for us for a while, and the guy who's playing bass in the band I'm in now played for us.
And the drummer's a big shot.
We don't even want to talk about
it. He's like touring, and we don't like him anymore.
He is in this band called the Airborne Toxic Event. They
played at all the big festivals.
Been on Jay Leno. Been on Conan.
We don't like him anymore.
No, we do because but even he. I mean, anytime he's in town, if someone needs him to play drums, he's like, oh sure, I'll play drums for you.
Talk about community, though. I always crack up at the fact. I currently live in Kingsburg, and I hear the stories that when I moved there for many years, the chief of police was Chief Taylor,
right?
And that's his son, the guy that plays drums in this big deal band now.
So we would play
at his
house.
all the groups would rehearse at his house
because we could be his last.
And who's going to call the cops? They're practicing at his house. That was just so awesome. You guys are so lucky.
Yeah, no, and the thing is, even that, I look out here and I see all these guys, and Dale was one of the, when It'll Grow Back first started playing, Dale had his band backstory, and, he had heard about it from somewhere and was like, hey, you guys want to come play? And we were like, yes, obviously. So, and it's still that way now, and I think that community is, it still exists, and it's so generational, it's ridiculous.
Can you guys speak to like any, this is probably a hard question. Just like, what is our community, music arts community, doing right in Fresno? What could they maybe do a little better to make sure things are like cruising around for the next several many generations? So like my grandkids can do a show like this and talk about all the cool things that went on for the 40 years before them. Can you guys think of like what we're doing right? What we could do a little better.
Well,
how we can all make some money off of this thing.
I think that's one of the things we maybe are doing right. But.
Let's start with Gary. Can you think of anything that maybe that like you're proud of this and that like you wish maybe could be a little better in this way?
Well, I'm not so involved anymore. More at a distance. But it always seems to me that there needs to be something like the Rogue Festival. A centralizing influence of some sort. The Wild Blue Yonder Club and the Olympic Tavern used to serve that purpose. They were kind of gathering places. And Tower Theater, when it was a repertory house and showing art films and midnight movies and foreign films, things like that, it was really great. The Daily Planet was going, and people would come to the theater maybe three times a week because we would turn over the shows pretty often. And we had a calendar, and people would come before the show and hang out. They'd watch one film. We'd have an intermission. I managed Tower Theater for a couple of years.
See, and my wife of many years, those were like some of our first dates. That was a great place to go.
Well, it was a great gathering place. Yeah. We'd have an intermission between shows. People would hang again, watch a film. After the show, go have drinks. So I think it's some centralizing space that seems crucial, and I'm not sure we have that now. I think one of the influences of the Internet is it does keep people in a lot, I think, and so people don't go out as often. But if there was some ongoing event, even like a monthly basis, something like that, those are the kinds of things that I think about in my kind of old school fashion.
What about Fred? Do you have any ideas what things you're proud of that we do? What things maybe that could be just a touch better?
Well, I'm very proud of this neighborhood. It's been my whole life. I grew up here and performed here, and my son, he's a drummer, and he's working at Whitey's Pet Store, and he's working for another drummer that I used to drum with. I think the best thing that you can do is come out to things like this, come out to little performances, and if you have a neighbor, look at them and say hello. How are you doing today? It's all about community. Everybody tells you what you can and can't do, but it's what you want to do. So just go out and say hello to your community and come next door and check out a local band. If you don't like them, you don't like them. If you like them, you like them. But just get out and have a beer. Don't drive, thank God. And just get out and go into your neighborhood and take care of your neighbor and take care of yourself and enjoy yourself, because life's too short, man. It's a short process. So enjoy the Rogue Festival.
Is that what it boils down to, Fred? Enjoy the Rogue Festival.
Yeah, enjoy the Rogue Festival. I live two blocks from here. I get to walk home with a bottle of water. I don't drink water. So you can take this bag and get me a beer.
Josh, you have something to say?
I drink beer water.
Josh, you have anything to speak towards that? Like what things maybe you think we're doing right? What things that maybe could be a little better as far as...
The thing I always say when people talk about Fresno is... It's so easy to do whatever it is you want to do.
Exactly.
If you want to start a performing arts festival, you can.
Yeah, right.
And then 10 years later, this is what it becomes. If you want to get together with some musicians and put together a downtown music festival, you can, and it happens, and you make it work. And
may I interrupt for a
minute? Oh, yeah.
It didn't take $2.5 million out of the city's budget to do this. We did this.
Yeah.
We didn't need a downtown czar. We didn't need anybody to create the Rogue Festival. It was created by us and with our heart and things of that nature. So, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, no, and I agree 100%. That's the thing I think we're doing really well is allowing people who have an idea to sort of get up and test it out, and if it works, it works.
One of the best slogans I've heard for Fresno, with all of our silliness about slogans, was something, I'm not going to say right, but something about Fresno being a frontier. It's kind of a place.
The final frontier.
Yeah.
It's the final.
If we could get William Shatner.
No, there's Starbucks cups, actually, that say Fresno.
The final frontier.
Some sort of something about the frontier.
Yeah, because it makes sense. It is a place where you can start something up.
Yeah.
And I lived for a few years in Los Angeles, and I didn't get that same feeling.
No.
If you were famous and if you were rich, you could start something up. But here it really feels like you can get something going from the ground up.
Yeah, we're always... Everybody in this room is famous or rich.
Yeah.
Everybody here is.
All right, we're going to try something we haven't tried yet.
Uh-oh.
But this is, okay, we got some cool music to cue up for this, for our game. This is our game.
Oh, I suppose we do. Let's see.
Okay, see if you can press the right button.
Do you want the egg timer?
You need to go out with him.
I think so. Yeah.
Holy moly.
Okay, we just have this idea. We thought, in the middle, we'll just break it up just a little bit. And we'll find, say, three people out here that think you know some of the Fresno bands through the years.
Oh, yeah.
And that if we named some members of the bands, you might be able to name that band. Anyone feeling lucky today?
I am.
Fred knows them all.
Come on, man. He's a ringer. If I win, I'll give it to somebody in the crowd. Let's go. Let's go.
That's not as fun.
Yeah.
All right. We'll start with this, okay? Okay, this list provided by Ron Doc Morris. He's definitely a guy to know. If you want in future years for people to describe you as a hero, hang out with Ron, because he tells such good stories. The simplest things that you've done sound wonderful years later. Okay, so, all right, first name. It's no friend.
Okay.
Okay, but you've been gone. Spider Dave, and the last name I have trouble with. Do you know the name Salido?
Well, so, I'm not.
Salido. Okay.
Lips are still.
Okay, what's the band?
Mockers.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Bass player.
Wow.
He He's a meat cutter now at Vaughn's, living with two children. His kids attend Clovis Union High School, one's in soccer, and his daughter has just become the queen of the prom.
There you go.
Well, I know that.
I'm worried now, Fred.
I'm drunk, but I know that.
Yeah! For those of you that remember the fact back in the day, you may have hit it if I got to John Clifton or Roger Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was pretty cool. All right, let's do one more. And then maybe the folks in our studio audience might have a question for our fine celebrity bachelor. Okay. All right. So let me try. Oh, this one you'll never get because you know y'all didn't go to Hoover High School. Okay. All right. Greg Slater. Next name. Todd Bennett.
Todd Bennett.
The directions.
Oh, same time, same.
Ooh, it's a direction. It's
a
little
earlier.
A lot of subtractions.
They're also on his website. What is that website? What is the address? Stage Dive Records?
Yeah, Stage Dive Records.
But there's like a hyphen between Stage and Dive?
Yeah.
Okay, so Stage Dive. He's got this whole thing on Global Talk.
No.
Dale's one of our guests on the Sunday episode. Mm-hmm. No, next Saturday episode. And he's got this whole thing that if you're interested in hardcore punk at all, or regional music at all, he's got like all these bands documented. Pictures and everything. Stage/Dive Records.
Okay, next band.
Okay.
Next
well,
band.
Well, the band was the Short Order Cooks.
Oh, yeah. I remember them.
That was it?
Yeah.
There was two members only?
No, there was
four.
Two, there's one other.
Well, you didn't give us a chance. With the, you didn't name the other two.
Okay, we're going to do one more. Okay. All right. There's all of these guys played in so many bands, and you guys can get this quick. But we'll start with Tom, can't say it. Ron Woods on the drums.
The Miss Allens. The Miss Allens.
Now someone else said it.
And you know what? I had the first night they ever played the club, Fred, in 1990, filmed on video.
Well, there you
and,
go.
And I got it, yeah, it was Chris. I think we opened up, what were we opening up, Christmas Eve?
Yeah,
91 Christmas Eve.
Whoa.
And the Miss Allens played, and I filmed it. I got it all on film. So maybe next year, we can have a camera and we can show some of this stuff. Because those guys sang the best Neil Young. I'm an old guy, man. I'm pad and paper. You know what I'm saying? I'll give it to him. The internet, yeah.
We're going to wrap this up soon. We're going to have a couple. If anyone has a couple questions from the audience, and then we're going to wrap it up with the song. Does anyone have anything they want to ask our fine, sexy young man up here?
Thanks, Blake. Appreciate that.
What are you doing tonight?
Oh, good question from someone who knows.
Well, a love of music.
Yeah.
You know, that's really it. That's what got me doing that newspaper, and that's what got me doing the record store. And that's what got me in trouble with having so many records that I don't live a normal life.
And it's still there, too. The record store is still there.
Yeah, I sold the record store a few years ago, and it's going strong.
Yeah, wonderful.
Dale can tell you about owning a record store. He had Stage Dive Records.
Yeah. He will.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
Next Saturday at 5 o'clock, Dale and Jim Conley, who was a bigwig when KFSR was just starting to go broadcast. So anyways, we're going to close it off now. Thank you so much. Like I gave that little plug, I can't help myself. Come on out. My band has a CD release party at Audie's Olympic Club Fred on Saturday, April 24th. And at that place, we're going to have an art piece called The Underground Garden that more than a dozen local artists have painted bits of. And we'll have dancers and music and a lot of guest stars. And, Lisa Kayo's going to sing. And I'd go anywhere that she's going to sing, you know. And have a beautiful time at the Rogue. We're going to close it off now with a song that Tom mostly wrote.
We both wrote it for the show. It's a song about us musicians. And
Tom, can you get out here with people?
I'm fine right here, man. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone, brother. People can see me. A song about the first time we all did it as musicians. Played in a club.
And there we go now.
Thanks to our special guests.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Blake.
Yeah.
And remember, Little Girl Back's still out there, so check them out.
Thanks. That's a plug. I've never heard one. I'm putting that on a T-shirt.
You know, if that were true, that it'll grow back, we'd all still have foreskins.
Oh! I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
Well, I've got mine. I don't know about him. Mr. Pink Shirt.
Yeah. Take it out of your wallet and show it to us. Yeah. You tight wad. I want to thank everyone again for coming out and hopefully enjoying the show. You know, it seemed like everyone did.
Nice.
Enjoy some other shows, and I want to remind you that if you feel like this show was worth more than you paid, and you didn't pay very much, you can make a donation to the artist. That goes into the green bucket. And if you would like to donate to the Rogue Festival itself, that goes into the steel bucket with the Dos Equis and Tres Equis labels and stuff on it. On that. So thanks again. Enjoy other Rogue shows and come back. Yeah.
They always shot.